it's very tough at the moment because we do our best to abide strictly by the guidelines of Athletics Ireland in relation to the COVID situation. And at the moment, what's allowed is that athletes can train on an individual basis. And then they came up with the idea that an athlete could have one training partner. And then like things like if a place is big enough, you could have, you know, a pair sort of 400 metres away from another pair. But it's very, very difficult, very challenging. But, like, you know, it's the same for everybody. So we just have to get on with it and, you know, hope for the best, you know.
And this year was supposed to be a very special year for you guys down there in Manapians, the 20th anniversary of setting up on Valentine's Day back in 2001. So I imagine this wasn't how you were hoping to celebrate it.
No. We were hoping to have our Make Our Load race that we have every year at the centre of our celebrations, you know, to do something athletics-wise to celebrate and then to have some kind of a gathering, hopefully trying to get as many of the current members and past members to attend some kind of a gala function. But unfortunately, that's definitely gone by the board. So we're doing different things online, and we've fed the Facebook pages with pictures from our beginning time right up to the present. And it's really surprising when you see it all in front of you how much we have done.
Yeah, and there are some brilliant pictures there on the Facebook page, and I would encourage everybody to go take a look at those. But just tell us a little bit about you. You've been with the club there for the 20 years. So just tell us a little bit about setting up the club all those years ago. And did you ever imagine it getting, you know, this far?
Well, to be honest, we did, because we were set up by a group of people who were real athletic people. And at that start, we wanted to focus on track and field, and to give people the opportunity to compete in the National League, where we had great success over the years. We finished fourth in the Premier Division on two occasions. And then we had, you know, I don't want to name names because you leave people out, you know, but we've had some extraordinary performances. And David Hines is the only Wexford-born athlete to have ever won a National Senior 100 metres title. And it's funny because our star at the moment is Leon Reid, in the sense that he's the one, you know, doing the high flying. He's at the European Championships in the 60 metres. And we have a nice picture of a race in Cardiff some years ago, which was won by David Hines. And down in fifth place or sixth place is Leon Reid. So it just shows that people can progress. And like, we always try to encourage our athletes, stay in the sport and try and develop to the best of your ability. We've had great success in relays in particular over the years. We won the national 4x100 metre senior title. I think it's on five occasions. And on other occasions, we were either second or third. So, like, you know, as a group, we have done extraordinarily well. And we now have members doing every imaginable event in athletics and all the different age groups. We have a big masters group. And we've quite a promising group of very young athletes once again. So, like, you know, it goes in cycles, but the main thing is to try and keep going. And in COVID times, what's really difficult is we can have no indoor training sessions, which was where, you know, you used to keep people in touch with what was going on. So we have people doing, I suppose we can call them webinars. That seems to be the word for it at the moment, you know, where the coach does things online and the athletes can click into it and look at it and so on. But it's very tough.
Absolutely, and we will come on to Leon Reid a little bit later on in the chat
okay,
there.
No problem.
But just tell us a little bit about your coaching as well. I know you helped Aoife Byrne to an 11th place finish at the Dublin Marathon. That was a number of years ago as well, but that just shows, you know, you yourself, you're very much a hands-on kind of chairman in the club there too.
Well, I suppose that it's still fair to say that, but I'm kind of feeling my age at this stage. I'll be 70 now in April.
Sure.
And you kind of, and you have to get out of the way and let other people work as well, because unfortunately you can spend a lot of time encouraging people to do coaching courses and so on, but if you don't give them the work to do, there's not much point, you know, and they tend to drift away then. So at the moment we have a very good group of coaches apart from myself, and my long term involvement in the sport was always around coaching. I actually started coaching in 1973, I think it was. So, and you know, I worked at national level and I worked with international teams and so on. But the biggest challenge for the sport as a whole is what happens to the young athletes who come into the club and how they are treated and how they are encouraged to stay on. And that's getting very difficult to keep athletes in the sport, because with the huge emphasis on the elite, a lot of them kind of feel, oh, well, I'm not really good enough, and they underestimate how well they can develop over the years. I often say to people that Sonia's best year, or her first, not her best year, but her first really impressive year was when she had finished college in Villanova. So, like, it's a long-term project, but it's very hard to get youngsters to think that way, and that's nature, isn't it? They want success straight away, and if they feel they're too far out of touch, the point I'm making is there's not enough competition for them where, it, you know, if you have low-level competitions where you can actually win, that tends to keep you going. Whereas if you're always finishing fifth or sixth or so on, although you might be making progress, it's very difficult. And that's a huge challenge for all clubs.
And do you think that you're losing those young people because they're going to other sports where maybe, you know, success is a little bit more achievable, like GAA, like soccer, like something like that? Yeah. Or do you think that these people are just being turned off sport altogether?
No, I don't think people are being turned off sport altogether. There's such an emphasis on being the best. And I mean, sport is competitive and you can't take that out of it. But it's how they view themselves, and very often the kind of the subliminal messages that they get when we're doing our coaching and we're trying to convince them to train harder and work harder and get better, the subliminal message is, oh, I was only fifth last week, so why am I doing this? And in our sport in particular, even at sort of probably from 15 onwards, if you're not training 5 or 6 days a week, no pun intended, you're just not at the races when it comes to it, you know?
Sure.
So it's a hard sport. But it's a great sport, but it's a hard sport.
And do you think that the fact that a lot of athletics is individually based, I mean, you have your coaches there and you have your club there behind you, but do you think that those people are starting to feel a little bit isolated, really, when they don't have that kind of success and they're not being lauded on a daily basis, whereas in a club or in a team element, maybe you can kind of hide that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think over the years I've heard all sorts of suggestions put forward as to how we might work on that. It's so hard to get people to change what's been done. Like, we always laugh about, what days do you train? And people say Tuesday and Thursday. Why do you train on Tuesday and Thursday? Because we always trained on Tuesday and Thursday. And you say, well, what happens if some of the athletes are not available on Tuesday or Thursday? It's simple things like that. It's very, very hard. We've been doing things more or less the same way in terms of competition structures since about 1890. And, you know, but when people suggest more team competitions, it doesn't go down that well. We tend to think championship.
Mm.
And you could have a very good young athlete who, say, finishes fourth or fifth in a county championship in Wexford, we'd say. And that means they haven't qualified for Leinster. And the Wexford championships are in May. So the season's over.
Yeah.
You know, so you need more and more competition. And the National League is a great competition from that point of view, a great developmental competition. But, like, we're living in the age of the cult of the individual, like, where, you know, people seem to get very quickly focused on themselves, and that's just the way life is now.
Absolutely.
So things like, in athletics, things like relays are so important, and team competitions like the National League.
And we were speaking about the level of coaching that is there at Menapians, and before we started recording here, you were telling me a bit about Shane McCormick, who's of course working with the fabulous Phil Healy. Alan Mahoney is working with her sister Joan down in Cork as well. So not only are we coaching brilliant athletes here in Wexford, we're also, you know, exporting our coaches, and they're leading at national level too.
Well, you see, what's developed with coaching is that the concept of the club seems to have drifted out of coaching. There's such an emphasis on the elite that, you know, find yourself a good coach. So you now have setups where coaches are working with groups. They're cherry picking the better athletes at a very young age now, which to me is an issue to me. Actually, having the groups is not an issue to me. But the fact that children are being taken away from their peers when they're still very young and put into a highly charged training setups, which work in the sense that whoever comes out as the best out of the group will probably be better than they would have been if we were waiting till later on. So it's a challenge for the sport, but I think it's part of the reason why long-term involvement, I mean, when I got involved in athletics, you always thought it's going to be lifelong. You'd actually hope you'd be running for your life. I was a middle distance runner. But what seems to happen now is we have a dropout rate when they start secondary school, we have a dropout rate halfway through secondary school, we have a dropout rate at leaving cert, and really something very disappointing. The number of athletes, good athletes, who go to third level colleges and give up. You know, it's funny because what's happening is that the tiny minority who are very talented, and there is a great group in Irish athletics at the moment, the tiny minority who are super talented are getting loads of support, loads of assistance and so on, and the kind of the concept that used to drive us all in the past seems to be getting pushed further and further out of the equation. That's maybe the way life is.
And do you think that maybe when 12, 13, maybe even earlier than that, when they're taken away to these elite structures, they're being kept away from playing other sports and interacting with other people as well? Because I remember there was a great interview with Dervla O'Rourke a couple of years ago, and she was talking about how she can't watch soccer and rugby, I think it was, because she couldn't understand how they weren't running correctly. Like, you know, she obviously knew the absolute machinations. And maybe if those guys had been exposed to, you know, doing a bit of athletics when they were teenagers, they'd be able to run better. And maybe that works with athletics as well. Maybe if athletes were able to play a bit more soccer when they're 15, 16, they might have a better appreciation of their own sport too.
Well, I've always had the idea that the athletes in our kind of society, the athletes make the choices. And if somebody decides, I remember when Victor Costello was moving to rugby, for example, you know, I was saying, well, go and do what you want to do. Like, it's up to you. He had been to an Olympic Games. He actually had a very disappointing Olympic Games. But this is a guy who got to the very top in the sport in Ireland, and he went and played rugby then, and he played rugby exceptionally well. So, like, and even within athletics, you get children who come along and, you know, they'll do the event that they like, and unfortunately that's very often not the event they're best suited to. So there's loads of challenges there all the time, but I don't think there's a big issue around the other sports, you know, kind of taking from us. Like, it's a free society, and if the person wants to go and join another club, or if the person wants to go and do a different event or even a different sport, that's just part of how life is in Ireland. It's not that way in many other countries. It's not that way.
Sure.
In many other countries, they're channeled, in my opinion, way, way too young down a particular direction. And I think our system overall is better in the sense that the people that you have in the sport tend to be, whether you're talking about officials now or whether you're talking about coaches or athletes, they tend to be very dedicated and very committed to the sport. And I think in character formation, that's much more important than saying, oh, you're gone off to play football. You won't go off to play football if you don't want to play football.
So, yeah.
You know, but it is an issue in the sense that, you know, we look at people and we see people that have, you know, gone to other sports. And Jack Lynch, long, long ago, Jack Lynch, when he was Minister for Education, for example, brought in a rule that athletics, no, not PE, athletics should be taught in all the primary schools. And he had the idea they should be taught all the skills and learn how to run properly and all that, just what you were talking about with Derville, like.
Mm-hmm.
And it is funny when you see, you know, you see footballers training and you see the way they're running. But what's happened in the last few years, it's very noticeable when you see the warm-up systems that the different sports are using. They tend to be using what we were using 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's all starting to come around, I suppose.
Yeah, and I mean, people learn, and there's a good bit of kind of cross-fertilization, if that's the right phrase to use, through kind of Sport Ireland and, you know, different coaching courses and so on. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, if you're going to commit yourself to athletics, it has to happen, you know, 14, 15. After that, you know, you really want to be looking at 3, 4, maybe 5 days a week. But we have athletes in the club who only train 3 days a week and they enjoy it. And good luck to them and they're welcome. You don't have to be concentrating entirely on your athletics to be part of a successful athletics club. And I was part of a winning junior cross country team years ago now, in all God's time, as the fella says.
Yeah.
And our fourth member was a local GAA footballer that we got to run once a week, and he ran in that national championship and he finished the race, and the rest of us were well up in the field. He finished in the middle of the field, but he said he couldn't get over how hard it was, because people look at you running and think, you know, it is so simple to actually run. I see people running on the road in particular, and you're looking at the way they're running, you say, oh God, look
yeah.
at what they're doing to their bodies. But I mean, that's their choice, like.
Mm-hmm.
But if you join an athletic club, the chances are you will learn to move better, work on your flexibility, like, and so on. So it hug all that.
Absolutely. And look, in a chat like this, we can focus a bit too much on the youth, especially when it comes to athletics, because you have a very successful master section there too. Catherine O'Connor and Martin Kelly, champions last year. So I think that's one of the great things about athletics, is that in other sports, you know, you can really sort of be forgotten about once you get past the sort of the 30s and the sort of playing age for kind of senior level. Whereas in athletics, you know, you can really contribute to life on the track for your entire life.
Oh, indeed. It can be, it definitely can be a lifelong sport, you know. I mean, I wish I could still run, I can't. But I mean, that tends to be the mindset of most people in the sport. They'd love to be continuing, but for different reasons, maybe work or whatever, or illness, or whatever happens in their lives. And the great thing about our sport is there's so many avenues through which you can contribute in terms of administration or coaching, or, you know, or simply, you know, driving the bus, you know, like it's, there's so many ways you can stay involved in the sport, and that makes it a great sport.
And we have to talk about the man of the moment. By the time this goes out, Leon Reid will have taken to the track out there in Poland. But just tell us a little bit about the young man, and how did he come to be involved with Manapians in the first place?
Well, as I said to you when we were talking before, we first got a glimpse of Leon when David Hines won 60 metres indoors in Cardiff. And looking down along the list was this athlete. So that's where we would have seen him first. At European Under-23s, I think it was, he met Shane McCormack, and they were chatting, like, and Shane discovered that Leon's mother was from Enniscorthy, and they just got chatting friendly. Leon's a really nice, friendly guy, and his mother, Bert's mother, is from Belfast, and his adoptive mother is from Enniscorthy. So, I mean, he'd every entitlement to run for Ireland if he wanted to. And that was kind of how the conversation came round to would he be interested in representing Ireland. And if you represent Ireland, you have to be a member and registered with the association, and you have to be a member of a registered club in Ireland. And that's how, through the connection with Shane and the family connection, that Leon came to represent Manapians. And we love having him, and he's a really nice guy. He's a great sportsman. There's a fantastic photo and got great circulation years ago, the first time that he ran in the national championships indoors, and one of the athletes fell, and straight away when the race was finished, it was Leon who went over to help him up and so on. Like, and you know, he's got so many good points, and he's had a very challenging life, you know, and he's really, it's great to see him really enjoying his life now. Many, many difficulties and challenges in his childhood, and you know, it's great to see someone who gets above those kind of challenges so well and enjoys life so much. But I mean, this will be going out like when the European indoors have happened. He's a personal best of 6.68 over 60. 60 metres is not his main event. He's a 200 metres and may ultimately be running even 400 metres. So it will be very difficult for him to get past the first round. I just hope, you know, he performs up to his best, and we're very proud of him.
And he only recorded that personal best a couple of weeks ago as well, so hopefully
that's
correct.
That's a bit of... He's running extremely well at the moment. You know, he had a few problems last year, missed out on the European Cup, for example. So, like, injury is one of the biggest problems that athletes have, in the sense that, you know, a total stop to try and recover from an injury and get treatment and so on is a real disruption of your schedule, more so than in other sports.
And he has been a brilliant speaker on the Don't Scroll By campaign as well, about online hate speech, and as somebody who has been experiencing racial abuse in his life, even up to recently, like, you know, he's been an absolutely wonderful speaker on that too.
Yeah. He's a terrific role model. You know, if you could put him up in front of, forget about sport, like, put him up there and just talk about his life and say, look, you know, you can get over all sorts of issues, you know, with the right attitude and support, of course, you know.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Mick, just looking to the future of the club now, what's the current state of play with a venue for you guys, and are we any closer to that being resolved?
No, not really. We used all of our government grant money in the development of the 200 metres track in Rosslare, and it's a great venue for small children in particular. But with the difficulty, Rosslare is Rosslare, and there's an outdoor track in Enniscorthy. That's, you know, so we're kind of 10 to 12 miles away from where we need to be to do certain specific events. And we're very lucky in normal circumstances, not in COVID times, that we have the use of the presentation school gym. And outdoor-wise here in Wexford Town, we're very lucky to have had a relationship with Wexford Cricket Club and Wexford Rugby Club, and due to the support of Wilf Jones, who owns the land there, we've been able to have a grass track mark there in the summer. So, like, it's challenging, and we've suggested various things to the council. We were hoping to develop a training venue on the grass area at Tanard Church, and that hasn't come to fruition. So hopefully in the future we will get somewhere. But meanwhile, we take up the challenge and we keep going, because that's what we believe in.
Absolutely. And at the minute, it's just Zoom training and all that kind of stuff, all these webinars you were talking about earlier on. Sure. But, you know, we will be able to get back out on the track hopefully soon enough. And outdoor sports, you know, you would imagine that the government will come to a decision hopefully early in the summer that they will be able to say, you know, if you're training outside, that would be allowed. And I'm sure you'd be welcome at that.
Oh, I'd be delighted, you know. But at the moment, we're allowed to train on an individual basis. And then we got guidelines saying that you could actually have a pair training together, two people. But you don't get the group dynamics that you have when you have 10 or 12 people training together and that sort of thing. So, like, that makes it difficult. But, again, you know, our whole society is facing this incredible challenge of this terrible virus. So, like, we have to play our part and try and keep everybody safe.
Absolutely. And listen, Mick, one final question there. You couldn't have a massive 20th birthday celebration this year, unfortunately. Hopefully in February of next year, we will be able to have these events again. The 21st birthday is a huge milestone in Irish society, so I'm sure you'll go big for that too.
I think we will, yeah, hopefully.